Welcome back to the Valley Church podcast. Mark and I coming at you from the basement of Calvary Baptist Church. Here we are.
Love the basement.
Oh, yeah. We're going to continue in our series in the Gospel of Matthew, but this time it's Mark who's coming to you with the teaching, and I'm just going to be the host and ask questions and enjoy being here.
Yeah. Ask me some hard questions, make me feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. We're in the Gospel of Matthew still in our series, and this week we are in Matthew 6, 16 through 18, and it's about fasting. And this is going to be, a special two-part mini-series, because this is going to coincide with a spiritual practice that we're going to do on fasting. And before we dive into the passage, though, I think it's important that we review a tiny bit, because this is kind of the end of a section of the teaching that Jesus is doing. He started in chapter 6 with saying this. He said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So we had Maddie teach on giving, and then you taught on prayer, and now we get into fasting here. And so the point of this whole section is that Jesus wants everyone to know that practicing things for people's, for man's, for others' attention is not good. That's hypocritical, and we shouldn't do that.
So not only is Matthew 6 kind of talking about the theme of Jesus telling us to be really careful that you're not doing religious things so that others see you, but that's really kind of, it's touching on a greater theme in the whole Sermon on the Mount, which is that the heart of the Jesus follower is of the utmost importance. And following Jesus is about actually having a heart of integrity that is pure, because we know we came out of those antitheses statements where Jesus says, "You've heard it said, but I say this." And in each of those, he goes deeper to the heart. Like, there's obeying the letter of the law, but actually it matters what's going on inside. And then this is just kind of another angle into that, where he's saying, not only is that true, but you need to be really careful that you're not doing things so that you look like you're doing the right thing, but actually that you want to do the right thing.
Yeah. Motivation is super important.
Yeah.
Before we get into the passage, I just, asking everyone who's listening, what are your thoughts and experiences with fasting? Because for me personally, I don't have a ton of experience with it. There's been a few mission trips I've been on where we will fast the first day to align our hearts with God and just collectively as a group fast together so that we can start the mission trip that way. And then I've done a couple other, I guess what you would maybe call more dietary restriction fast. I did a bean and rice fast, where there was this whole week where we only ate beans and rice, and the money we saved from only eating beans and rice, we gave to some nonprofits, some causes that were probably helping feeding the homeless and things like that. So very limited. And I don't know, Michael, what are your experiences with fasting?
Also very limited. It's yeah, I think I could probably count on one hand the number of times that I remember fasting. It was for moments where we were, you know, kind of as a group of Jesus followers, kind of collectively praying for something. I've done it once or twice as kind of part of seeking the Lord's will or devotional, kind of part of just practicing wanting to be in God's presence or wanting to kind of, seek his presence, I guess. And so very, very limited, and I'm pretty excited to dig into this.
Yeah, this is, something that probably for most of us, we don't have a ton of experience in. And as I was researching and reading, I think God has something here for us. So let's read the scripture in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And it says this, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So it starts off talking about when you fast. So I think first off, before we dive in about the when, fasting, I think, has this, there's a lot of things tied to it. We hear about this fasting for health. There's the, what is it called?
Intermittent fasting.
Intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a fad right now. Buddhists fast, Hindus fast. It's not just a Christian thing. Also, there's, especially with food and body image, there's a lot of stuff tied to this. And so I want to be sensitive to some of that stuff, but also when we look at biblical fasting here that Jesus is talking about, he is talking mostly about a fasting that is not eating food, sometimes water too. So not eating food or water for extended periods of time. And we see it all throughout the Old Testament, especially with Moses when he does this crazy 40-day fast as God is giving him the Ten Commandments. Then he comes back and he's like, whoa, everyone's going crazy, worshiping other gods. And he throws the Ten Commandments down and then goes back up to the mountain, does another 40-day fast. So there's these like back-to-back like sections, and we see like the town of Nineveh fasting, trying to repent for their sins. And man, there's, we see David even fasting when he has sinned before God and his son is going to be killed. And he goes to the Lord in fasting and in prayer, trying to change God's mind.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of differentiating, like today, sometimes we will have, we'll call a fast from like social media, social media fast. And that's a very valid thing to do. But when scripture talks about it, it's primarily about food, or perhaps exclusively about food.
And some commentators and authors would call that more abstaining from something and not necessarily a fast. So that'd be a social media, abstaining from social media, not necessarily a social media fast. So most of the time, or all of the time, when we talk about fasting, it means food, not eating food, sometimes water too. So we look at the scripture here and it says, when you fast. So right off the bat, Jesus is saying not an if, but a when. He pretty much says his disciples that follow him will fast. He's assuming that. There's plenty of times that we look in the scriptures that people have fasted, but also that it was pretty common during the day for religious leaders to fast. They had 2 days a week that they fasted, and the Day of Atonement is a prescribed fast in the law in Leviticus 16. So we see that happening, and Jesus says, when you fast, and is expecting his followers to fast as well. However, these hypocrites, we're assuming that he's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these religious leaders of the day. And how they fasted is 2 times a week, typically on Monday and Thursday, like clockwork. Every Monday and Thursday, they would fast. And you probably didn't even need a calendar, because if it was a Monday, you would see these guys walking around. It says in a somber attitude, and they would look it. You could tell by the look on their face, because a lot of times they would put ash on their face, and they would wear probably uncomfortable looking clothing, not their best. They wanted to appear to the people around them that they were in physical, mental, just agony, going, I am fasting before the Lord. I'm in pain. Look at me.
Yeah, I'm so dedicated.
I'm so dedicated.
And amazing and holy. Look at me.
And they, I imagine them even making some noises and just going like, oh, the stomach pains are terrible. This is for the Lord. Look at me.
Yeah. So Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast. The assumption is that people were fasting then.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case with us today. We'll get there. It was a regular part of their life, so regular that they did it two times a week, Mondays and Thursdays. They did it on the Day of Atonement. And these hypocrites, or maybe not, maybe everyone did it, but these people were being particularly hypocritical because they were trying to make themselves look very uncomfortable, somber, sad, so that people would see they were fasting.
Yeah. The passage even says disfigured, which if we look at a couple commentaries, they put so much ash and had so much pain on their face that you could barely recognize who the person was because they were manipulating and disfiguring their face so much. And when you think about the term sackcloth and ashes, that is a term that is associated with mourning and mm-hmm. with, especially when someone discovered a sin that was apparent in someone else's life or your own life, they would go to sackcloth and ashes, like a time of mourning. And because God obviously doesn't like sin and it grieves him significantly. Mm-hmm. And that was just a way for the person to kind of align themselves with God in the way God views sin. And this was probably originally like, oh man, we need to, there's sin in the world. We are grieving about it. And when you fast, you feel this pain. So obviously we are aligning more with God. But the Pharisees, the Sadducees were probably taking it so far that they were taking it beyond just a alignment with God, but a disfigurement. Look at me, check me out, how much pain I'm in, how holy I am.
Yeah.
And it went beyond just a alignment with God.
Overusing kind of a tool.
Yeah.
To make it seem like they were very, very religious all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And like previous passages with giving and with prayer, we talk about what the reward was. They were given their reward, which was man's approval. Yeah. Everyone noticed. It was probably hard not to notice these people. And I'm assuming they were kind of doubling up on these things. They were probably in public praying like this too, fasting yeah. and praying in public and being noticed for that. So, mm-hmm. and that was their reward. Everyone probably thought, wow, cool. Look at how holy they are.
Or who is that? I can't tell who that yeah. is because there's so much ash on their yeah. face.
Who is that person that looks miserable over there? They are very holy, though. In verse 17, it says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. So this is Jesus transitioning into, okay, that was the way not to do it, but this is the way you should fast. So he is saying you should practice normal hygiene. It was normal for people during the day to put oil on their head and wash their face. So Jesus is saying, if you normally brush your teeth and take a shower, when you fast, you should brush your teeth and take a shower. And if you dress all fancy normally, you should dress all fancy when you fast. So it's this, Jesus says, don't draw attention to yourself when you are fasting. Mm-hmm. Don't make it obvious to other people that this internal thing between you and God is happening so that other people can see.
That's good.
And I don't know if everyone has this tendency, but sometimes I go to the extreme opposite. So Jesus says, hey, don't go look somber and disfigured. I would try to look overly happy and perfect sometimes, like, oh man, I'm great, look at me. And like,
fasting, what? No, yeah, no way.
I'm fantastic, watch, I'm gonna go run like a few miles and then go lift weights or something like that and pretend like everything is fantastic. But again, it's Jesus doesn't want us to go to the extreme opposite, because that would be drawing attention to ourselves in another way. And pride obviously is one of those things that we want to avoid, but we want to live our life like we normally would, but we happen to be fasting at the same time. Mm-hmm. So in verse 18, it says, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's kind of weird to talk about fasting having a reward, but it does. There's these rewards with the Father in heaven, and they're relational rewards with God, which is something that is amazing, that when we partake in this practice, we can deepen and grow our relationship with God in ways that might not otherwise happen if we had not, or maybe as quickly. But there are these cool relational rewards with God.
That's cool. So in verse 18, it starts with the so that, linking it to the verse before. So it says, mm-hmm. when you fast, in verse 17, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious. In other words, be normal, because you don't need people to see that you're doing this cool religious thing. And also part of this so that is so that other people don't see it, but God does.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that. God is saying, play it cool, because I'm the one who sees and other people don't need to see. And this is going to, like you said, deepen our relationship. I'm the one that needs to see, and that will reward you with, you know, intimacy, closeness, and other things as well.
Yeah.
That's good.
So let's talk about the application now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So I have a quote first before we dive into the application. It's a quote by Dallas Willard. And
Classic.
It says, yeah, he's a smart dude,
he is a smart guy.
Fasting confirms our utter dependence upon God by finding in him a source of sustenance beyond food. And that quote is amazing, because it is part of my experience with fasting. And I've, again, not an expert, but as I have fasted, it has totally revealed my weaknesses to me. So it's easy in the first part of the fast. You're like, oh man, I could do this all day and not worry about it. But as the day goes on, and you feel those hunger pangs and you feel your energy levels dip, I don't know, it just brings out the worst in you in the holiest way possible. I don't know how else to describe it, because as the years have gone by, I've learned that one of my tendencies is to be lazy, is to be angry, and to, in some of my anger, to lash out, not in like physical or like actual yell at someone, but passive aggressive ways. Mm-hmm. And as I have fasted, I have noticed my laziness and my passive aggressive ways in the most, again, holy ways that I have ever noticed them before. God was allowing me to see these things almost like an out-of-body experience, like, wow, Mark, this is what is happening to you right now. Your body is so weak. But I believe because it was an intentional fast with God, that the Holy Spirit was working, was doing something to allow me to see myself in a different way. Now, I wouldn't say that every time we fast, there's going to be something like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's more of an obedience thing for some people, and just doing it is as a spiritual discipline to do it before the Lord. But for me, that quote, fasting confirms our utter dependence on God. I needed the Lord for the food and that I receive. And when I don't have food, how weak I truly am, how much I need the Lord, how much I need everything in my life, my family. Mm-hmm. When I was fasting, I was so lazy and weak. Kristen was doing everything. I was pathetic. I was trying not to be, but man, I needed the Lord, and I needed more than I could muster that I could like push through. There was nothing I could do. I needed God.
Yeah. And just to give you guys listening a little background, Mark was obeying this passage and being kind of humble about his fasting experience. But I think you told me that you have been, since we kind of scheduled you to teach on this, which was a long time ago, months ago, you said that you had been fasting once a week?
Correct, yeah.
Correct. Yeah, so that's not a little bit of fasting. That's quite a bit. Once a week for a number of months. And so when you're as you're talking about what you've been learning through the process of fasting, it's not like you tried it once last week in preparation for this yeah. message. You've been practicing this discipline regularly for a little while now. And so I think that's really cool that you've had a number of weeks to kind of, I don't know, get familiar with it and see what God has done in you. That's awesome. And awesome that you didn't toot your own horn, and way to go.
Yeah, I'm trying not to toot it because practicing your righteousness in front of other people is not good. So yeah. I'm trying to walk that line,
yeah.
But also share my experience because I believe that the Lord has amazing things for us when we obey Him and follow Him and do spiritual practices. So I think the thing that we should take from these passages is that we should fast.
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about as you were talking is, so fasting for you in a unique way revealed, I like that you said kind of in a holy way, that it was a kind of like a God-ordained or God-initiated revealing of your own yourself to you.
Yeah.
That might not have happened otherwise without fasting. One of the ways I've kind of been thinking about following Jesus, I know that sounds like really generic, but is that we just basically are walking through life in need of 1,000 reminders of yeah. what's true, and a ton of reminders that, hey, following Jesus is worth it. It's the only way. Here's how we do it. And we like to think that we read the Bible a couple times and pray a little bit, and then we just kind of have what we need. But we have short spiritual attention spans, and we just need lots of reminders, and pastors are not different.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it seems like, and again, I have far less experience fasting than you, and maybe from people listening, but fasting seems to me a really great, I'm excited because it seems like a really great kind of system reset, another way to learn your need for God and to then kind of physically feel it as well.
Yeah. And to add on to what I was talking about, the holy reveal of my weakness,
yeah.
It also revealed some of my coping mechanisms for when, like, oh, I'm angry, or, oh, I'm being lazy. These are the things that I would do to cope with that. And food, obviously, I'm probably not the only one, but, oh, I'm feeling bad about myself, so I'll have a snack. And yeah. let it all wash away in my potato chip haze.
That's too real, Mark.
I'm sorry.
Why'd you have to go there?
I know. And also, I have loved running and being physically active and things like that. However, when you're fasting, running is not something that you should probably do a lot of, if any, maybe. But that is one way that... Not that I'm running from my problems, but it's easy to go, oh, I want to go work out, instead of actually having a quiet moment with the Lord. Yeah. And that's a way that obviously you should do some physical activity. And it's good for you to get out there and have your heart pumping and and all that stuff. But when you use it to run away from your problems, it's not good either. And sometimes I have used that to avoid things. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go run than actually think about it.
Yeah.
So here's a quote by Arthur Wallace. Fasting, like prayer, must be God-initiated and God-ordained if it is to be effective. So again, going all the way back to the beginning of chapter 6, it's all about our motivation and why we're doing the things that we're doing, and Jesus cares about our heart posture in all of this, whether it's prayer or giving or fasting. That's what's most important.
Yeah.
So if we're doing it for attention, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. But if we're looking to chase after God, I believe that there's a place for that. Fasting probably might be intimidating for some of you guys, but I believe that God really does have something for you in that obedience in this particular spiritual practice.
That's great. I love that. I love what you just said, because there's a kind of an important aspect when we talk about spiritual disciplines, which is remembering that there is a purpose to them. And the purpose is not to do them. Mm-hmm. The purpose is that they help draw us closer to Jesus, relationship with him, and they help us become more like him. And so there is an end to the spiritual disciplines. And it's not just be someone that does the things.
Yeah.
Be a person that fasts. The end is become like Jesus by doing the things that he did. And so I love that idea of it being God-initiated, God-ordained, God-focused, and what you said about our heart posture is very important, because the goal is not, I want to be a person that fasts. The goal is, I want to be like Jesus, and I think that fasting might be a practice that helps me get there. So that's great.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah. So you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that fasting is our next spiritual practice.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about in our communities, Sabbath. That was our first spiritual mm-hmm. practice. We got a few weeks into communities before Corona happened.
Corona.
And some communities have been talking about it since then. Still, I think maybe others like mine have kind of talked about it at the beginning and then kind of just trailed off. And now we're talking about quarantine and life. And so what's happening next for our communities?
Next for our communities is this spiritual practice of fasting. We have been using practicingtheway.org as a roadmap to help us talk about this stuff, to pray for each other, to learn about it together. And there is another one of those for fasting. So all of our groups will hopefully, I know the social distancing Zoom calls are a little different to talk about this, but I'm hoping that all of our groups will dive into fasting and practicing the way and doing it in all of our communities.
Sounds awesome.
I hope so. It'll be awesome.
And by awesome, I mean it sounds hungry.
It sounds hungry, yeah.
Cool. Okay, next week we're going to dig into kind of even more of the practicals of reasons why we fast and some of the more kind of practical applications of things.
Like some places where fasting has presented itself in the Bible, and it'll be cool.
Okay.
I hope, we all get to learn a little bit more and become a little bit more like Jesus.
I love it. So fasting part two next week.
Fasting part two.
But for now, Valley Church, we love you. We miss you. And I hope you have a great week.
Yeah. Miss you a ton. This is weird not having you here. These cameras are not the same.
No, they're not. All right. We will see you next week.
See you next week.